All right, so Matt, you're like the grand poobah of this production. You like put a lot of this stuff together. So how did the pieces come together? How did you decide to want to do this?
Well, Chris and I actually did the show in 2010. Mm-hmm. We did it 7 years ago at the Producers Club. Mm-hmm. And it's always been my favorite show and my favorite character. And I like to, you know, have my resume have variety to it, so it's not like I like to keep going back to the same roles, but this was the one role that I wanted to do again. And so we're doing it like on an off-Broadway contract, but we're starting at a festival. And then to do it on this certain off-Broadway contract, there were a couple of, like, legalities over the types of shows you can do, how long it can be, the type of venue that it needed to be at. So it was kind of like when we were planning the next show, it was just like, well, why don't we do Lone Star again? That'd be great to do that, because it fell in with all the guidelines of doing it on this certain off-Broadway cabaret contract. So we decided to do that, and then Jay
Michaels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has connections to this festival that we're in, so he has
Spotlight On Festival.
Yeah, so he asked us if we wanted to be a part of the festival to sort of like warm it up, run it, work out the kinks before we moved it to off Broadway. So we said, short of that, we thought it would be a good opportunity to run it 8 times before we moved it into a bigger venue, you know. And we opened last night, and we have a show today and tomorrow and Monday and Sunday. And so, yeah, that's how that all came together. I mean, I pretty much kind of just pick the projects that I want to do and find a way to get the money and find a way to put it all together. And it's a lot of work, like Pat was saying, but if you really want to do this with your life, you have to make sacrifices, you know. Otherwise, you know, things aren't going to happen, because there's a lot of actors out there. There's a lot of journalists out there. And unless you hustle and make yourself stand out, you know, no one's gonna do it for you. You know, you got to do it yourself. And I think a lot of actors kind of have that mentality, like, oh, well, they'll come to me. Hollywood's going to come to me. You know, it's like, that's not how it works. You know, you have to really hustle. And it's completely immersive. It's not just acting. It's the PR. It's making connections with other directors and reviewers and people that can write stories on you and get your name out there, and finding producers and finding money. And it's a 24-hour day. I mean, not 24 hours because you got to sleep, but when you're up, it's like, it's got to be all day. And it's exhausting and it's draining, but when you see that you're making progress and you're chipping away at something that's very difficult, you know, it's very rewarding, and it's not easy at all. And there's a lot of stress, and again, there's a lot of sacrifice, and you know, you go through periods of financial hardship. But you know, I always just say, like, if this is your life, this is your one chance to live your life, why do something that you don't want to do, you know? And you just kind of have to make the commitment and go 100% in and say, look, this is what I'm doing with my life. I don't care how long it takes me. I don't care if I have to sacrifice relationships or going out or whatever the case. This is what I want to do. And if you commit yourself fully, you know, you'll start to see that over time, wow, a year ago, I'm so much further than I was a year ago. Wow, I got all these connections now that I didn't have 2 years ago. And I'm certainly not where I ultimately want to be. But when I look back at 2.5 years ago, say, I've made tremendous leaps, and I certainly hope that in 2.5 years I'll continue. I'll make even more tremendous leaps. But you know, another thing is you don't do it on your own. You know, you need people to help you. You need to make the contacts. I mean, Patrick has helped me out tremendously. He's helped get my projects out there. And you know, last night he had a reviewer there, and I don't know if they liked it. I mean, hopefully they did, and hopefully it'll be a good review. But, I mean, if it does, then, you know, that goes out on social media, and people see it, and they're like, oh, this show's getting pretty good reviews. And then you contact other reviewers and say, hey, look, this is the reviews that we've been getting. Can you come see this show? And then you get those reviews, and it just keeps going and going and going. But the funny thing is with acting, it's like when the project ends, that's it. You know, it's got to start all over again. So, yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's definitely worth it.
So Chris,
that's my opening statement.
So Chris, let me ask you, what was the original production of Lone Star like, and how is this one different?
The original one was what, 2010, Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah. We went a lot more for like more slapstick, trying to be more. You know, there's comedy in the play. There's still comedy in the play, but we went a lot more for humor in that one. And this one, we kind of pull out the drama more in it. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's very, very different. You know, I'm not an actor per se. Like, I'm a photographer, and Matt wanted me to audition for this, and I was like, yeah. And, like, you know, I guess they saw a couple other people, and we have good chemistry. I've known Matt for a long time, so he's just like, well, just come in and read it, and if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it, but, like, come in and read it and see how it goes. And then I came in and read, and they're just like, we like you the best, so, you know, do you want to do it? And I was like, sure, why not? I was living in Philadelphia at the time, and I was wondering, going back and forth, kind of be a pain. But now I just moved to Central Jersey, and it's still a pain, because it's still an hour and a half without traffic each way. But, you know, it's like, it's anything else. I'm a, like I said, I'm a photographer. All my shoots are in New York, so I'm driving back and forth all the time for that, too. So it's all the same. But you have to, you know, what he said is very true. It doesn't matter what you want to do. You kind of just have to really push and want to do it more than the next guy, because that's the only way you make it do anything, you know.
This is for both of you. Did your preparation change for the production, considering that you guys were going for a more emotional approach than, say, the slapstick that you said you guys were doing earlier?
Yeah,
sure. I mean, I'm a much different actor now than I was in 2010, so whatever my process is now is much different than then. So, yeah, certainly.
It's interesting because the lines are the same. You're playing the same character. That's just very different, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the rehearsals, everything's different, yeah.
Okay. So, Matt, you're known for taking unique paths to kind of find your way to connect to a character. So I told him about the therapy session for Hamlet, and I told him about Easter seals for Charlie, for Algernon, and I told him about the mask for the Elephant Man. So what did you do to prepare yourself for this one?
Well, he's like a Vietnam War vet, so, you know, it's one of the first plays, I think, that really talks about PTSD. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that, post-traumatic stress disorder, which a lot of Vietnam veterans suffered from. So I did, extensive research on that and, read books and watched documentaries, probably, 20 hours worth of Vietnam documentaries, read 3 memoirs. Had conversations with a Vietnam vet. So I kind of know. I have a good idea of what these guys went through. It's terrible. I mean, obviously, talking to someone about it and having them actually live it are two totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a terrible, terrible war. And so the character that I play is, you know, he's come back from war now, and he finds that he's having a hard time getting his life together. And he's still kind of living in the past because now he's back, and his friends who didn't go to war have all sort of moved on with their lives and gotten married, and he's stuck in this small Texas town trying to put his life back together, but really can't because of, you know, the horrors of the war that he saw. So I had to put a lot of work into that. I always like to change my look as much as I can. I mean, you know, in The Collector, that is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But like this, you know, this isn't my natural.
Yeah, no. Look. He did a play called The Collector a couple months ago where he played this guy that kind of, this creepy guy. I hate to say it like that.
Oh, yeah.
This really creepy guy that, like, he wins the lottery and he stalks this girl that he has a crush on, and he tries to make her fall in love with him. Like, he gives her everything that she could ever want, and like you see, Matt has like a full head of hair, and he like totally shaved the top.
I'm trying to find a picture.
And like grew a beard, and he looked like a really, like, yes, there you go. He just looked like the Unabomber.
Yeah,
there you go.
You know, like like he did that to himself to get into the character. So that's why I asked the question, like, what did you do to prepare for this? You talked about how this was one of the first plays that mentions PTSD and stuff like that. What else do you think makes your characters individually special that people will remember, like, after they leave the theater?
Well, I think that because I have known Chris for so many years and we're playing brothers, I mean, in real life, he is kind of like a brother. So I think that, you know, in rehearsals and stuff, I know the people that were watching, you know, had made comments to me like, you guys really feel that connection, mm-hmm. like with the brothers. So, I mean, I think that that's certainly something that they'll take away, that there is a definite connection, you know, between the two brothers. And it seems like, you know, at the start of the story, you know, my character is kind of like Stone Cold Steve Austin a little bit. It's like he's like a hellraiser, you know, he drinks beer, he gets into fights, he's from Texas, he's got the Texas accent, he's kind of like the alpha dog, you know. And even though he's back from war, can't keep a job, suffering from depression, a drunk, he still tries to maintain that air of everything's okay with me. And I think, you know, the relationship that he had with his younger brother before he went to war was one of, like, you're stupid, you don't know anything, you know? And I think by the time the play ends, you see the journey of my character go from, hey, I'm the alpha dog, everything's all right, to I'm really suffering and I need help, from his character of the quote-unquote dumb little brother in the beginning to the end of he's grown up a lot and he is now like the shoulder that I can lean on to help me get through, you know, what's going on with me. So I feel like there's that arc that they'll see, you know, that the characters definitely go on this journey. I mean, it's a one act. It's only an hour, but it's jam-packed. I mean, there's a lot going on in that hour. It's a great, great play. And, yeah, it's only three characters. There's a lot of humor, but there's a lot of good drama in it, too. You know, it's about the relationships, really.
Is there anything you want to add to that?
No, I was going to say the same thing. I think that a lot of it is how we react with each other and how we play off each other that people will leave with, I think, for okay. sure.
So someone doesn't like theater, if they're not a theater person, why should they see this?
Well,
like, what else is it, like, what does it feel like to you, like, that's not theater?
Well, I think it's really, you know, I think it's really good acting, and I think it's, you know, I don't think there's anything like live theater. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one take, you're up there for an hour, sometimes two. If you miss a line, if someone fucks up, you gotta just, you can't be like, oh shit, can we do that again? You know, you gotta, like, keep going. I mean,
you gotta figure it out on the fly.
It's improv. I mean, it's just, it's a huge adrenaline rush. So, on the stage, for me, it just seems like, oh, well, you know, why wouldn't you? You want to see, you know, people, like, going on this thrill ride, you know? But I think, you know, for people that might not be theater goers, I mean, I definitely think it's a show that will make you laugh. It's a show that, you know, you'll probably see something that you're not really used to seeing, too, because in New York, you know, you don't really get that much exposure to Texas, you know? So, you know, you kind of got these two, like, shit-kicking good old boys, and, you know, it'll definitely be something different. I mean, this is only the second time that it's ever been done in New York since it was on Broadway in 1979. It was done in 2014 and now again in 2017. So it's not shown that much. It's not really a show that, you know, is done often in this area. I think because of the setting, you know, it takes place in Texas. And, you know, we're in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not this world-famous play that was written by Tennessee Williams where, of course, yeah, Streetcars takes place in the South. And
mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think, you know, you'll get exposed. I mean, we're not from Texas by any means, but, you know, we certainly tried to immerse ourselves in that sort of culture. And, yeah, I just think it's a unique chance to laugh, see some good acting, and see, you know, actors who are passionate about what they do. You know, we're not going through the motions by any means. You know, we've put this together ourselves, so we have a lot invested in it. Yeah, I think it's just about supporting the arts.
Mm-hmm. So, two-part question for both of you. First for you, where do you think this play stands in your whole library of characters that you've played? Like, what have you learned about yourself as an actor through this? And then for Chris, has this kind of like given you the acting bug, or are you going to go back to photography?
You want to go first?
Me? Go first.
I mean, I don't know. He's actually asking about that last night. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I haven't stopped photography. I'm still doing that.
Yeah.
I'm a freelancer, so I have a lot of free time. I just kind of get hired by magazines or companies or whoever is going to hire me. So my schedule is just like up in the air at all times. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I never actually planned to act again after the last time we did this.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was on me about auditioning.
Every time he's done, they just keep pulling him back in. You know?
So I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, for me, this is my favorite character that I've ever played.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably
it is fun, though. I will say that. I do have fun doing it. That's why I did it.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite play, too. So it's probably the only role that I've ever done that I think I would want to do again. I mean, there might, if I sat down and really thought about it, maybe there'd be a couple that I'd want to do again. But I almost feel like when this is over, I would still want to do this one again, you know? As far as about learning about myself, I mean, yeah, I mean, I just feel like I'm continually growing as an actor and learning new things. You know, you work with different directors. We have a very good director. His name's Pete McElligott. You know, I definitely learn things from him that I incorporated into my character that I didn't do previously. It's all one big learning experience, and I think the best way to be a truthful, believable actor is to, you know, take pieces of yourself and put that into the character. So, you know, you kind of have to be able to tap into your own emotions, so, and in your own past experiences, and almost deliver it through the character that you're playing. I'm constantly learning more and more and more, and I think you have to. You can't really ever just say, okay, well, I know everything, and just because then I think you'll feel like you'll plateau. And if you don't keep trying to push yourself and continue to do new things, like one experiment that we did in this, you know, as actors, is I told him, write me a letter. Well, from Maynard, Texas to Vietnam. So he wrote me a letter as Ray. I got the letter. I read it. And then I wrote him back as the character from Vietnam of everything that I was seeing out there, what I was going through, answering his questions about, you know, mom and dad and, you know, take care of my car and make sure you're checking up on my wife, you know all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably had about 375-page journals filled with just Vietnam stuff. Like, I would read the book if there was a quote. So in Vietnam, they used to, when they were in training, getting ready to go to Vietnam, they would sing this song, I'm gonna go to Vietnam, I'm gonna shoot some Viet Cong. So I took that and I've incorporated it into my character, because my character can sing tunes throughout the show. And it's not specific over what he sings. They just give you a general idea. Sing something like... So within that research, you know, I was able to pull that and bring that into the character. And a lot of the other things that I found out about Vietnam, I incorporated into my letter with him. But then, you know, you write it as the character. You know, he's not that smart. So, I mean, I misspelt words. You know, I didn't tell him too much, because my character isn't someone that's really open with his feelings. You know, he's a lot different than Matt, so you have to write the letter as the character, not as the actor playing the character. So I thought that was a cool little exercise that we did.